Welcome to Awakenings Movement Podcast. Awakenings Movement is a community where dreamers become believers and believers become doers.
So, we're talking about torque. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 is kind of where we begin. And that is the scenario where Peter and Andrew are sitting by the lake and they're fishing, you know, and Jesus is walking, he's walking beside the Sea of Galilee, and he sees them doing their job. He sees them at work, you know, what you doing? Working, you know. And Jesus says to them, come, follow me. And I'll send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. A lot of translations say, I'll make you fishers of men. You once were fishermen, I'll make you fishers of men. And so there is this, all of a sudden, there is this infusion of spiritual practice and vocation that Jesus is inviting Andrew and Peter into. And they went from really having, like, you know, kind of a job into a dream job, you know. They really went from, you know, kind of making a wage to really making an impact and making a difference in humanity. And aren't we so grateful that they did? I mean, Peter and Andrew, you know, Peter, you know, his, not only his missionary work, but his writing is a large, huge chunk of what we study now to understand who Jesus is. And so, you know, this was a recording of these guys being pioneers in what it means to not only, like, make money, but to really have a life that is meaningful. Because we all know, I mean, I'm not on the money-making side of this, but I know it to be true that money doesn't make, you know, happiness. It can buy a lot of stuff that temporarily makes you happy. But I think it's Jim Carrey who said, I wish everybody could earn all the money to buy everything they want so they could see that it's not the answer. And I was like, I want to be on the other side of that realization, though. Like, I want to get it all and then be like, y'all know what? It wasn't all that. Like, I want to be on that, on the other end, though. But Jesus was calling Andrew and Peter into this dream job, and I think that Jesus is calling us into a dream job. Jesus has called me into a dream job. That's why I'm, like, just so, oh, man, I'm so grateful. I'm telling you, it dawned on me this morning. I was like, dang, this job that everybody that was my elder at the time in 2004 and 2005 was like, do not do this. The organization that I was working for was like, where's your 401k? Where's your promise of benefits? You know, where are you going to live? How are you going to make money? And I was like, I don't know, but I'm so excited. I'm not going to worry about that. I'm 22. I don't care. That'll work itself out. Well, that's 22. I was 22. Dang, Marlon. Where's Marlon? Yeah. 22. I'll be 34 next week. Oh. 34 Dougie, you know? Hey, wait, no, 34 Dab. Sorry, Erica, 34 Dab. 34 Dab. Dougie's old. Dougie's old. Dougie's old. 34, yeah. Okay. So, talking about torque, and I'm really easing into torque because, unlike my partner Marlon, conceptual physics, I'm not as much of an expert at conceptual physics as he is. I'm very impressed at what I've learned. Okay, well, okay. All right, so I'm going to ease on into torque, and I'm going to preach this torque. Okay. So torque equals distance times what? Right? Okay, so we learned that when it comes to our torque, when it comes to us cranking the wrench to try and create a movement, to create an impact, sometimes the greater, not sometimes, at all times, the greater the distance from the object, the greater the impact, right? When we apply the force, right? And so we're learning that the greater the distance from our dreams that we are, sometimes the greater the impact, if we change our position of what?
Force.
Force. And we learned from Marlon's sermon that the position of force that we have is our faith. And that our faith combined with our work is what creates this living experience. And we know that faith without works is dead. And that work without faith is just torture. It's just cruelty, right? And so when we apply our faith and our work, there comes this amazing potential for impact, right? We become Simon and Andrew on the shore being invited by Jesus to become fishers of men instead of just working a regular job and having a regular wage and going home and going to sleep to do the same thing over and over again and feeling like a hamster on a wheel, right? So James chapter 2, verse 8 speaks specifically to what happens in our lives. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? So, okay, are y'all tracking with me? We understand that there's a marriage between faith and work, that one cannot be without the other, because faith on its own is great, but there needs to be something that demonstrates it in terms of daily activity, right? And we understand that work without faith is just a grind. And I'm not trying to grind, because when you grind, you get ground, you know what I mean? It's just fruitless at that point if you do not infuse some kind of hope in God into our daily activity. Okay, good. That was just a little recap. And so what is the response to those who are lacking faith? What is the response to those who feel like where they are is so distant from where they want to be? This is a strange response. Read it. 1, 2, 3. Oh, that is so counterintuitive. For the last 11 years, this has been our response to, like, loss, right? For the last 11 years, this has been our response to lack. And I, sitting across the table from Marlon, sitting across the table from our community partners, and sitting across the table from the staff members that have come and gone, have been like, can we get a medium dream? Because I'm looking at the bank account, and the bank account is medium. Small, usually. Extra small. You got that dream in an extra small? At Zara, you can get your dream in an extra, extra small. You know what I'm saying? I have been like, I don't understand how this works. How, when I know that we have, you know, X amount of dollars and X amount of people and X amount of time and X amount of energy, how in the world are we supposed to then take all these little bitty X's and apply it to a bigger dream? It makes me want to just go home and lay down, you know, and just be like, I'm overwhelmed, right? It's very counterintuitive to the human experience to respond to your lack, to respond to your feeling of inadequacy with something that's even farther from where you are than what you originally thought of. But we've been doing that for 11 years. And the answer to the truth communication that Marlon preached two Sundays ago was to be grateful for your work and intentional about our efforts. Like, that's how we move into, from where we are, into this bigger dream, right? And I love that. That lit me up. I was like, yes, I'm about to just, I was just spread him, and I was just blessed, blessed, blessed. Do my little emails, blessed in these emails. I'm blessed on no phone. I was just blessed, right? But it got real, I got winded, you know? It got a little old, because I was like, nothing is happening. Ain't nothing, like, nothing is, like, immediately following my gratitude and my intention. Like, I was like, okay, I'm waiting for that, like, phone call that there's a millionaire that's just been watching us. And they're like, I've been watching you, Awakenings, and I'm on secure gear right now. I'm about to drop $1 million auto renew, you know, just every week $1 million is going to drop. You know, I was like, it's coming. It's coming. It has not come. But I like how this made me feel. I was like, okay, this feels good in my body, so I'm going to keep going. And then I look back over 11 years and I was like, dang, we've been doing this for 11 years. Like, this truth communication that came two Sundays ago is not even a culmination. It's like a bookmark in the current page of the current chapter that we're in, that we've been in for the last 11 years. For the past 11 years, we have been grateful for our work and we've been very intentional about our efforts. And every time we've had lack, we have gotten a bigger dream. And I try to walk through every moment. It's too many moments right now. That was like this truth communication little period that we have right now does not hold all of the ways that God has honored our intention and our gratitude and our efforts in the city of Houston, in the city of Detroit, and in Nairobi, Kenya, and beyond. But, you know, I thought we need to dream medium. But I was just thinking about, look at those guys. That was when Russell was just Russell. He wasn't Uncle Russell. He was just Russell. Ariel? So guys, this picture is at the El Dorado Ballroom. This is about three or four years into our journey. At this point in our movement, we had been a nomadic movement, and we had shed the auspices of a normal sanctuary and a normal campus, and we were nomadic, and we would go from location to location, and it was an unconventional expression of how the church is not a building but a people, and that if we could have a sacred experience in a wings and waffle joint and in a bar and in a nightclub, that you could have a sacred experience inside your own body, regardless of what you look like or even where you put yourself. Yes. Amen? And even in that, our intentions were good, and sometimes we found out hours before our experiences that we were not welcome at the places that we had paid rent and signed an agreement to be. Right. Remember that, Marlon? And we would have to just scramble. And somehow every time we moved, our community grew. Yeah. And every time we moved, our message was broadcast through the city on these supernatural airwaves. And even though we didn't know marketing, and even though we had no ability, because that was even before a bunch of social media, so we had no ability to directly connect with our community, people still found us and still knew where we were somehow and would show up at the doors. And they would be mad when we told them we were moving and they showed up at the last place. Wait a minute. You know, in 2008, we were at the El Dorado Ballroom. People were still going over to the Breakfast Club. What a church at? And so at this moment in our history, every Sunday was kind of touch and go, you know, and we were in it. And so here we are. We had decided, you see Sarah Kane with her little.
Yeah. That was Awakeness 2.0.
That was Awakeness 2.0, Walter, that's right. So at this point we were gathering so many folks that we were running out of room in the El Dorado Ballroom. But the El Dorado Ballroom had been now mistaken for a church. And so we decided that we would turn our church inside out and offer our church to the community through this very ambitious, courageous 2010 experiment. Yes. Again, Danielle, Marlon would be like, I got this idea. And I'd be like, uh-huh, okay. And inside I'd be like, oh, Lord. What are we going to do, Lord? And so this is the finishing of a community garden that is now a thriving garden for people that can go to the community garden and get vegetables in a space in Northern Third Ward that was formerly a food desert. Wow. Where all you could get was Navy seafood and Timichan type food, right? Yeah. And you can get kale and carrots and watermelon and, you know, that was a composting project. Hey, Walter, you need to be up here narrating the pictures. So then we noticed that the music in our community was so great, and the musicians were just attracting more musicians. And we were just
like having these amazing little mini concerts on Sundays, and we decided that that was not enough just to have music for ourselves to just rock and hold each other. And so we decided, with the help of Kiana, to Kiana wrote this amazing grant. Remember that? Mustard Seed Foundation? Baki. Remember that? She wrote this amazing grant for the Mustard Seed Foundation to, and we were like among the last of the churches to get a Mustard Seed Foundation grant because people were making up fake churches and getting grants and then just like living. And so they messed it up for churches to do meaningful work in the community. Yeah. The IRS was just cracking down, so we were like the last. Anyway, so we decided that it wasn't enough to just create music for the sake of our own community. We decided that we wanted to equip musicians to do authentically arranged, good, original music in the city and tour and end up developing such a fan base and such a community that they could eventually do that for a living and make a life, right? Look at her. Still love. And so we did this 48-week tour where 8 bands got to tour the city of Houston, and that has changed the landscape of live music in our city ever since. Right? And the musicians, I love the Influence Stream Project because this community came around these musicians, and musicians got free photography, free portfolios, free marketing and writing. They got consultation with lawyers and accountants, and they got a manager, and they got like this instant community that will follow them to all of these venues and support their music and sing their songs loud, and coverage from Houston Press and other magazines that are local to our city. And it was just an amazing experience to see these folks that went, like Amir was one of my first men's small group leaders. He didn't even come to Awakening on some like I can sing. He was just like, I just want to be a part of it. He came from Atlanta. This is a picture that was actually on the front page of the Houston Chronicle Sunday paper right next to Whitney Houston and Oil. Yeah. Okay? And so this was an opportunity for, them samosas. Oh, and that cilantro pesto turkey melt. Ooh, Keisha, make me some cilantro pesto right now. I know you got something in your purse. Oh, that Lucille's breakfast sandwich. Oh, y'all, I can't look that. Yeah. So this was an opportunity to incubate culinary arts in the city. These were amazing folks that were a part of our community or friends of our community that had the stuff. They had the products, that they had the education, but they did not have the storefront for their own people, their own customers to come into. We acquired a coffee shop and turned it into a culinary art gallery. And we featured the stories of these culinary artists. And we told their stories, and every time somebody tasted a dish, they tasted a dream. And we began, at this point in our community, at this picture, this was a great party, but this was after losing 80-90% of our community? 92% of our community, including a lot of our board. Because they did not want their pastor to be serving espresso and delivering sandwiches to table. They wanted him in an office just waiting to counsel Mary and Barry. And her. They wanted their pastors to be in offices just waiting for the work of the church to happen and not in the streets of the city, literally incubating human potential, literally inviting people to become fishers of men through their vocation. And people who were not even familiar with Awakenings would come into the e-gallery and be like, oh, this is my sanctuary. My father just died, and I just could not find anywhere else in the city to come but here. Can I just sit here? We would come from behind the counter, and we would pray and cry with people who professed to be Buddhist and Hindu and Muslim and agnostic and atheist and whatever, and they thought that the e-gallery was the only safe place that they could come and experience a communal, sacred relationship with another human being. Fishes of men. This is a table at the Houston Innovators. This is a beautiful surprise for us that the HEB Family Foundation underwrote a season of vocational incubating in the city of Houston. That they decided to underwrite people becoming fishers of men right here in this here studio, in these here chairs. This is amazing to me that we could live our beliefs and turn the world around. And every month for 9 months, we met and innovators turned a passion into a purpose, into a plan. I can't believe that. And God is still working through Folklore Films. We get to continue the legacy of Zen and tell the stories of these living libraries in the city. I didn't mean to take this long on this little part. I still got a lot more sermon to go. I'm trying to figure out how to cut and paste it in my, edit it in my mind. But I just cannot believe. Do you know how many times we've applied for the Idea Fund to be told that our ideas were not worth funding? Only to be summoned into a meeting and told, hey, we have this project. Nobody in the city can do it but you. Well, boop. But that's God. I can't believe that something that has been a no for us for years has been an easy yes with God in an instant, right? Amen. So what is the distance between you and your dream? What is torque? What does that look like for you? Because what I've learned is that every time we felt like the shots were too long, we increased our torque. We increased the size of our dream and the distance, and we changed our position of faith to work it, and we always ended up okay. We always have made it through to the end of the project or the experience better, more experienced, leaner, fitter. And I've learned that, let's read this together, ready, go. If your dream fits into your budget, there is no room for God. Because God's dream for you is going to always be bigger than your budget. God's will for your life is going to always exceed your finite imagination. So don't get discouraged when your dreams seem far from your capabilities right here in your own little space. If your dream fits into your budget, there's no room for God, and your dream is just too little. Widen it, broaden it, lengthen it, stretch it, and watch God work in that crazy, counterintuitive space of that opposite dimension of the bigger you dream, the more God comes into that dream and meets you and pulls you toward it, instead of averting yourself and shying away from it. Because if you decide your dream is unattainable, then you're right. If you decide that the answer is no, you're correct. The answer is no if you decide it is. But if you decide that it might be yes, you might be surprised. You might look up in 11 years, you might be in the best shape of your life, living a life you've never imagined. So, Marlon, I may have to do a part two.
Yeah, that's fine.
Do it. Is that okay?
Indescribable to me.
Because I'm looking and it's 11:18 and it's like, it's a lot more. So, okay, we'll do a part two. But the part, the point I'm trying to get to is there's always going to be a there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There's always going to be a there. And what does there mean? There means I can do what I want with who I want for as long as I want. That's there. That's when you're there. Oprah is there. You know? Okay? There. The definition of there, that destination, that deluxe apartment in the sky, when you move on up, is when you can do what you want with who you want for as long as you want to. And if you don't want to no more, guess what? You ain't got to do it. Ooh, there. There. I want to go there. I got to get there. Because I'm not there. Okay. And so they're broken down into the three like basic human areas of need is power and control. So you see, I can do what I want. That means I can control and predict what happens to me.
Yes.
You know? And we think that there's like a vocational, geographical, and socioeconomic level that we can get to that'll bring us there. You know? There's a gated community and a financial institution and some tax brackets that'll get us there, right? Okay. Now, with who I want, that is the basic human need for esteem and affection. That means how others see me and behave towards me is loving and good. That's there, you know? And a lot of us get confused sometimes and think that what we have and what we do will attract the attention that we long for and need as human beings, right? Okay? So then there, for as long as I want. See, this speaks to the energy of our need for security and survival. I have what I need and what I want to live. And it's just, you know, I'm not like a newly signed athlete with a contract that's going to come and go. I have this for life. You know, I'm not like a model that's going to plateau at some point. I have what I need and want for life. My security and survival are met. And so there are these three places exist in our experience every day. And so what stops us from getting the daily work of our dreams done is our fears around never getting there. Okay? And so what I want to do is I want us to walk through the experience of developing a spiritual practice that is a breaking point to stop when we're scared that these theirs are never going to, we're never going to approach these milestones in our lives. Because what happens is when we start to be afraid that we're never going to get there, we make these self-perpetuating decisions that get us farther from what we really want in the first place. So when we're scared that we can't do what we want, we succumb to impulses in the moment and make decisions that have consequences that push us farther away from what we actually want, right? When we're afraid that we can't do what we want with whom we want, we displace that anxiety on who we have and we push away the relationships that God has given us, right? And when we're afraid that we can't do what we want with who we want for as long as we want, we make decisions that cut the longevity of our livelihood and end up shortening our opportunities instead of making our days enjoyable and longer, right? And so there are some ways that we can integrate our spiritual practice into our daily living habits that give us a space to examine what's happening when we're afraid that these things are being taken from us. And then we can understand what's really happening and respond with the wisdom and the security and the love of God to those experiences, right? Okay. But that's going to be part two. Oh, y'all want to go?
Yeah.
Y'all want to go?
No, make him come back.
Cut it. This sermon way too long. I need to cut in. Let's cut in. What say you? Okay. You sound like Brother Parker. Hurry up and take your time. He always says that. Take your time. Hurry up and take your time. Hurry up and take your time. Okay. So this is what we're going to do. I want us to really have time to move through this. It's 11:24. So can we all commit to coming back next week?
Yes.
Y'all promise?
Yes. I promise.
Okay. Friend, I heard you flying out. You flying out next week?
Okay.
Ooh, I'm a hoop on that podcast for you, friend. Friend, I hear you in the sky, girl. Okay. Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to do a part two, but let me close with this. What I hope that we can do as a community is to really take advantage of the tools and the experiences and the benefits of being in relationship together.
Yes.
And to really enjoy this this very, very precious time of learning how to deepen our dreams together. Because look around. You are in a safe space for admitting your secret desires and dreams for impacting the world. No one will laugh at you. No one will tell you that it can't be done. No one will remind you of how few people have done it before you. These people in the room are fellow weirdos who are foolish enough to believe that one little person in this small body can make a huge impact in the world.
Amen.
And so I want to close with this. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. God can do anything, you know, far more than you can ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, His Spirit deeply and gently within us. Next week, we will develop a spiritual practice that is us bringing our daily experiences into a time of prayer that will allow us to let go of what's presently paralyzing us and then begin the work of God's Spirit deeply and gently moving within us toward our dreams. Okay? So next week, we will get an actual tool that begins the process of a daily practice of God working out gently and deeply within us a way to not be paralyzed by our fears of not being there. That will eventually move us like a rhythmic peristalsis, move us towards our dreams.